Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to this wonderful worship service. Kim and Willis, as you know, have a new baby boy, Joshua. Kim has a baby and I show up. That's the way it goes. But I am delighted to be here. I am not going to be the one who preaches every Sunday while Kim's away, but I am going to do pastoral care. So if you have a pastoral need, please call my cell phone and just say, hey, I need whatever, and I will be there. And I will be teaching the Bible study on Thursday. And so I welcome you to this wonderful service. Okay, let us take a deep breath and take in God's Holy Spirit. Let go of any frustrations or stuff that we've accumulated and get ready for worship. Pray with me.
Great God, our hope, in you we find life and love. In the world around us, we see fear and hatred. Overcome our shortcomings and pour out your abundant life. We want your kingdom to reign on our earth. Create within us a desire to make your will be done. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let us turn to our hymn, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know.
The prophet Habakkuk speaks to the Lord, and he's somewhat angry. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Our Lord, how long must I beg for your help before you listen? Why do you make me watch such terrible injustice? Why do you allow violence, lawlessness, crime, and cruelty to spread everywhere? Laws cannot be enforced. Justice is always the loser. Criminals crowd out honest people and twist the laws around. And from chapter 2, while standing guard on the watchtower, I waited for the Lord's answer before explaining the reason for my complaint. Then the Lord told me, I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to be read at a glance. At the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. I, the Lord, refuse to accept anyone who is proud. Only those who live by faith are acceptable to me. The second reading comes from Luke chapter 19. Verses 1 through 10. Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today. Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Everyone who saw this started grumbling. This man, Zacchaeus, is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him. Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, I will give half of my property to the poor. And I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Today you and your family have been saved, because you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for you and to save people who are lost.
My world, he set me free. He cleansed my heart that I might see the wondrous good inside of me. Yes, Jesus changed.
Yes, there is ways of hope.
Thank you, choir. Such a joy. I received a great gift this morning. I drove over here. The sun was coming up on my left, and Kim's voice was coming out of my radio. So I was able to hear what she preached last Sunday before she went off and had that baby. So I know it was really a gift to be able to kind of have that knowledge of what you'd been listening to and try to feed into it. Because I think that although you've been hearing a lot about prayer, faith is the result of prayer. But it's still darn difficult, isn't it? And our people that we're talking about this morning found it difficult. Zacchaeus, that strange little man. Yeah, we are supposed to see Zacchaeus as that little man who climbed up in the tree to see Jesus, a tax collector. And Kim talked about that last week, about tax collectors, not popular folks. Folks didn't really like them because they often lived off of extra stuff that people could have really used themselves. But even in the midst of being a tax collector and a rich one, Zacchaeus is someone who had faith. In 10 short verses, no pun intended, we find out a lot of information about this man, don't we? He was rich. As the chief tax collector, he would be despised by his fellow Jews. The chief collectors were noted for colluding with the Romans and taking advantage of others, which resulted in great wealth for the collectors. We remember that the Gospel of Luke is hard on the rich. There are many passages that call the rich to account to share their earthly wealth. Often the poor are blessed and the rich are asked to rethink their own position. We know the rich young ruler walked away from Jesus because he cannot give up his riches. Yet here is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops and singles out this tax collector. Jesus is always associating and welcoming the wrong people, isn't he? Eating with prostitutes, talking with Samaritans, even a Samaritan woman. But Zacchaeus did something unusual. He climbed a tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to hear more from this man of faith. He was tired of not being seen in a crowd, tired of walking around looking at the hems of others' tunics. He must have heard about Jesus and wanted to see for himself what this man was about. So he climbed the tree, and when Jesus saw him up there, he stopped and declared that he would stay at this man's house that very night. He acknowledged the curiosity of this wee man, and Zacchaeus responded with joy. He jumped down, declaring that he would give half his riches to the poor and pay back four times over any fraud that he had committed. That was way more than the Jewish law asked. And Zacchaeus made this commitment with joy, with joy. A smile on his face and a lightness in his heart. Jesus confirms that this is a man of faith. Salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus is a child of Abraham, just like those who were grumbling and criticizing. Yet even though Zacchaeus was faithful, abiding faith is difficult. We hear these stories and we think, well, fine, that was then. But life is more complicated now. It's harder to have that kind of faith in the 21st century. Or is it? I watch my husband, whose mind is affected by vascular dementia, as you all know, and see him losing memory day by day. Yet his faith is strong. He reaches out to God when life is puzzling for him and when a house that he has lived in for 24 years just does not seem the same today as it was yesterday. Yet he wakes in the middle of the night, afraid and doubting that God is with him. Then he goes in his mind to the conversations with the Holy Spirit that he knows are true, and his faith is revived. Each piece of his experience is real to him. God is real to him. And he added this to my sermon when I was reading it to him. Wanted to be sure that you heard this part. I see a grandson planning for his future while he is a high school senior. He joined the Air Force last spring when he was a junior. Thought he was nuts, but he took tests and has faith that he will receive what he has asked for when he graduates from high school and finishes basic training. And he keeps saying to me, "Remember, Nana, I'm going to the Air Force on July 4th, 2017. He has faith. We all have many examples of those who exhibit great faith in our own lives. Think of those whom you know who have shown you great faith. I'm sure if I went around this room, everyone could think of at least one or two people who have shown them great faith over the years. Think about that. And yet it's still difficult when life doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, the way we have planned for it to happen. We sometimes make choices that are not the best for us, and then we turn around and blame God for the results of our own actions. Why did you let that person die, God? Why did you let us make that choice, God? And yet, do we really want that kind of God? Do we really want to be a puppet on God's string? I don't think so. Do we believe that God could reach down and keep us from making bad choices? I don't think so. I don't think that's the kind of God we believe in. The writer of Habakkuk speaks powerfully to times of conflict, injustice, and violence, both in our personal lives, in our homes, our work settings, and in our immediate communities, and out into our wider society and the world. He does not flinch from painful realities, but in the biblical tradition of lament and holy argumentation with God, the prophet rails at God and demands an answer. Like the character Tevye in the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Habakkuk plants himself squarely where God can see him, at a watchpost high on the rampart wall, and has it out with God. Habakkuk's steadfastness, his faithful waiting, is then rewarded by a vision. In order for Habakkuk to see this vision of an end to injustice and a healing of grief, he stations himself right in God's sight, suggesting that he is not going anywhere until he receives God's reply. What gives him this courage to lament? Well, the paradox of lament is the foundation of faith. Grief, sorrow, despair can all exist alongside a void of faith. But argumentative lament presupposes that someone is listening. Habakkuk believes that answers will come. And indeed they did. Maybe not the way he wanted them to exactly, but they came. So what is our response this day? Are we willing to go toe-to-toe with God? How is our faith? On the bishop's retreat that I attended this past week, Amanda Drury, our speaker, suggested that we speak to each other about faith and gave us several ways to do just that. She talked about living in perpetual Advent, always expecting God to show up in our lives and to take notice when God does show up. So, how has God shown up in your life this week? Well, I'll tell you how God showed up in my life this week. Here I was. DS called me, said, would I preach? Yes, I will. So I get on right on my computer. I have the address that I can send my stuff to the Avon Church. It's in the computer. So I send my stuff all to Mark on what I had in the computer. And I feel very happy about that. I go off to the retreat, and I get a call from Steve Stevenson, who says, we don't have that address anymore, Mary. Gmail is gone. There's another address. Ah, I say, I'm in Niagara Falls. I have no computer. I'm with a bunch of people. You know, this is a new conference. There are many, many people I don't really know. But there are a few people that I know. I'm panicked. What do? I say, God help! I see people sitting there with these little things. I don't know what these little things are. They don't look like computers to me. They look like what I read books on. They look like my Nook, which all I do is read books on it, folks. I don't even know what the heck else I could do on it. Anyway, I finally get the nerve to go over to one of the DS's, Sherry, who I've known since she was in the seventh grade because she's a friend of my daughter's. And I say, can you get online with that thing? It doesn't look like a computer to me. And she says, of course, Mary. What do you need? I say, okay, God. She sets it up. I type. Pum. It goes to Mark. Here it is, right in this bulletin that you're looking at. Yeah, God showed up. Finally showed me that you can ask somebody and those little things can be a computer. Who knew? I didn't. I am thankful for all the young people in my life. God puts all these young people in my life to help me. I just need to ask the question. Will we all set ourselves out there like these men in the scripture that we read? Out there where God can see us like Habakkuk did, like Zacchaeus did? Will we open our hearts to God and expect an answer from God? How about climbing out of our little pits that we put ourselves in and really looking at Jesus? Really looking. We know that Jesus is always looking for us. So will we make ourselves available like Zacchaeus did? The story of Zacchaeus tells us that the gospel is serious, serious commitment to God. But it also tells us it's about joy. We good church folk do not always do joy very well. Zacchaeus, little stand and big smile, convict us to do better. Well, I hope I've given you many things to think about this day, but I give you one more. The definition of faith as in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What does this mean in your life this day? This week, let's find out.
Thank you.
this benediction. Go forth in Christ's name with faith to transform existence, to bring consolation to the desperate, hope to the hungry, reconciliation to a community and to a divided world. Go forth. Amen.
This week's service features Reverend Mary Martin from October 30th, 2016, speaking on Living by Faith, Difficult.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.